Vitarasi dikshu rane dikpati kamaniyam. Vitarasi dasamukha moli balim ramaniyam. Dasamukha Vitarasi dikshu rane dikpati kamaniyam. Vitarasi dikshu dasamukha moli balim ramaniyam. Vitarasi dikshu rane dikpati kamaniyam. Vitarasi dasamukha moli balim ramaniyam. Keshavadvita rama sharira Jai Jagadisha Re, Jai Jagadisha Re, Jai Jagadisha Re. Vitarasi dikshu rane dikpati kamaniyam. Dasamukha molim balim ramaniyam. Keshavadvita rama sharira. Jai Jagadisha Re, Jai Jagadisha Re, Jai Jagadisha Re.
Vitarasi dikshu rane dikpati kamaniyam dasamukha mauli balin ramani. The next avatar is Ramchandra. So the Ravan, who had 10 heads, he challenged the Lord, and Lord Ramchandra took up the challenge and killed him.
Hare Krishna. So in one sense there is no need to introduce Grace Urmila Prabhu. Like in my own life, I remember the early days back to Godhead magazines. The first article I would like to read is the one column. I never knew that one day I'm going to meet her. So, one sense, we all are blessed today. She's here in midst of all of us. But still, few words of to appreciate. She's disciple of Prabhupada. But not just an ordinary disciple. There are many disciples. So she is a glorious feather on Prabhupada's glorious crown. She's carrying forward ISKCON's legacy all over the world. At the age of 18 years, she joined. Please let me tell you, I don't know much. Whatever my heart remembers, I'm going to speak. And she's the mother of several children. I don't know how many. That's several. And now grandmother for?
13 living.
13.
And great-grandmother of two.
Great-grandmother.
I should be introducing myself, huh?
No. Anyway, I'm taking this opportunity, but especially...
Now I know I'm a feather. That was interesting.
I'm just taking this opportunity because there was... usually Gaurang Prabhu does it or Mohan Vilas Prabhu does it. So, well, I don't let me take this opportunity. I will remember forever. Especially she has come to Govardhan College this time to address all of us. There is a book she has with her co-author. Written a book, Dharma Career, which many of you have been hearing. This is an amazing book. In our day-to-day sadhana, we may not go deep into this subject. But seeing the time, place, circumstances, the way society has changed, she has brought very deeper insight about this Varnashrama, which Prabhupada very much wanted to establish. But a completely a little different dimension, which very relevant. Especially the way we are now living in the midst of a consumerist society, the culture what we are now in. So, thank you very much.
I'm going to bring you with me to promote my book.
So anyway, the books are there, those who are interested. Oh. It's a wonderful book. Those who have missed the seminar, you always can. But she is known for what she's doing now, where she's sitting now. That's her place. She should be sitting there on the Vyasasan always and educating us,
feather.
Inspiring us. Yeah.
As a feather.
As a feather on Prabhupada's glorious crown.
Okay.
So anyway, thank you very much for your presence here. We are all very inspired and we have a usual trend of, you know, that's a minimum we can do. We just appreciate and express our gratitude by loudly chanting. Haribo. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's been a very amazing presentation.
On Career Dharma.
Yes, 5 days, five sessions back to back. This is going to go on for a long time, this discussion.
Very good.
We already are discussing. Today, Radha Madan Gopal, so we were discussing during the Guru Aarti. So this is going to remain. The impact is quite deep.
Very good. Well, that's actually, you know, if we can help to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire for Varnashram. So yeah, if you didn't come to the seminars or if you came and didn't get a book, we do have some books here. And I think we also have... They had asked me at first to teach my other book, this class, Krishna Meditations, which is how to find Krishna in the sound of the fan and the chirping of the birds and the trees and your breath and your ability to sit in the class. So instead I said, well, I really should speak about Lord Ramachandra. But the book is there. It's a beautifully illustrated book. And it's just a series of like short 2 to 5 minute meditations. You can just open it anywhere and remember Krishna always. And what else do we have there? We have our little book on chanting and then Raghunath Das Goswami's Manashiksha, which I had the great privilege to produce, which is a step-by-step guide to spontaneous devotion. Okay. Thank you very much. Jaya Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Parivrajakacharya, Asatara, Satashri, Srimad, Zivangre, Sesi, Bhakti, Vedanta, Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada, Ki Jai. ISKCON founder, Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Anantakoti, Vaishnav, Vrinda, Ki Jai. Namacharya, Srila Haridas, Thakur, Ki Jai. Prem, Shikaho, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Adwaita, Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi, Gaur, Bhakti, Vrinda, Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gogopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai Gangamai Jamuna Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om. Om Vishnu Gunaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivasesis and Nivani Paskachade Satarane Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Manchikapachubhischa Kripasandavyavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavavya Namo Maha. So again, today is the day when Ram defeated Ravana. So I thought we would take a journey through the Ramayana. Is this all right? Yeah, all right. And I hope we can see it well enough with the sun coming up. It's not great. You're getting like 50% color saturation. So you notice in the back, I don't know if you can see, but in the background there's a hunter shooting a cruncher bird. And this inspired Valmiki to curse the hunter in a poetic meter that had not been heard before. And then he was very surprised, and Lord Brahma came and said, I want you to use this meter to write the story of Lord Ramachandra. So Dasarath had three wives, and actually he had a daughter, but he had no son. And he brought Rishyashringa to perform the yajna to have a child. So even then they had assisted fertility. Right? Wasn't such a gross science. Like today they have gross methods, IVF and so forth. But there they had subtle science. So, of course, the story of Rishyashringa is a very interesting story. What happens when you try to get free of Maya by pretending it's not there? But that's not the way. Didn't work for Rishyashringa. You all know that story? His father brought him up so he never saw a female, even of an animal. I was reading there's one Christian monk like that. Lived his whole life without ever seeing a female. At least human. I don't know if he saw probably saw some female animals. And so therefore Rishyashringa was able to be lured to the yajna by women because he didn't know what women were. Can you see from over there the screen? Yes? Okay. Anyway, so he came and he did this yajna, and the queens divided the payasa, and then four wonderful children were born. So Kaikeyi gave birth to Ram, Kaikeyi to Bart, and Kausalya to Ram, and Sumitra to Lakshman and Shatrughna. And these are considered to be Vasudev, right? Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha, although there's a place in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada talks about them being Krishna's Sudarshan disc and Kanksh and so forth. And so Dasarath was raising his sons with great love and affection. And of course, this concept that one can become the parent of God, not just to see God as the Father. Christianity also has this idea, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, they have some concept like this, but that one can see God as one's subordinate. I was just reading this morning in Chaitanya Charitamrita how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission was to teach spontaneous love, where the devotees see him as an equal or as an inferior instead of as a superior. Am I speaking slowly enough for everybody with English? Can you all understand? And Srila Prabhupada would often say, instead of wanting to see God as the Father, because usually the Father, you're always taking from the Father. But instead, one can see God as one's son, to always give. So, of course, Ram was very beloved of Kausalya, but of all the queens, they all saw him as their child. And the brothers were trained by Vasistha. We were teaching this career dharma and how in the Vedic system that the proclivities of children were noticed at a young enough age that they would receive training. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the second canto of the Bhagavatam that the Brahmacharya Ashram is for training in values of life, along with specific training for a livelihood. By the way, in Mumbai in 1976, Prabhupada was speaking about the Brahmachari verses from the seventh canto, and he was going back and forth between talking about the Gurukula and the temple Brahmachari ashram for the adults. He was equating them. And so this kind of vocation, Prabhupada says specifically, specific training given for a livelihood. So Prabhupada said in the Brahmachari ashram, one should learn something of everything and everything of something. He said devotees should not be callous towards material knowledge. They should become expert. So here we see even the Lord, he's being trained. Of course, this is interesting because he's the Lord. And it's very interesting because most of us don't like going to school. And somehow the Lord delights. Can you see the screen from there? Somehow the Lord delights in going to school. So then when the boys got to be teenagers, this Vamrita came. And this is a particular part of the pastime Prabhupada talks about a lot and really illustrates what we were studying in Career Dharma, the different values of the different fields of work. So Vishramrita came, and Vishramrita says, I have these demons disturbing my sacrifice. And he said, I have the power to kill them. Actually, the Brahmanas had much more power than the Kshatriyas. Please don't think that in Vedic times everyone respected the Brahmanas just out of culture. They also respected the Brahmanas because a Brahmana could say, become a frog, and you became a frog. So, and the whole reason Vishramrita wanted to become a Brahmana was so he could have more powerful weapons, because Vasistha had defeated him with weapons coming out of his staff. So, of course, once he became a Brahmana, he lost that desire. Right? People ask, can I change my varna? I said, yes, if you're like Vishramrita and you want to take 60,000 years. And it is possible. And it wasn't a smooth journey for him either, was it? No. Many difficulties. Anyway, so by this time, he's a great Brahmana. And he comes and he says, I could kill the demons, but that's not my business. That's your business. If for a Brahmana to engage in violence is adharma. For a Kshatriya to be nonviolent is adharma. You understand? Yeah? There's different systems of dharma. We should also mention that although Vishramrita at this time was apparently a Brahmana coming to ask Dasarath, this was really his role in pure devotional service. So Vishramrita somehow or other on his, even though he was motivated, Yam Krodha Kama Sahaja Pranayati Bhiti Vatsalya Moha Guru Gorva Sevya Bhavai Sanchinchitasram Sadri Simtanam Aparetye Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, even though he was motivated by envy of Vasistha, you understand? That was his motive. What he did to become a Brahmana and eventually a great Brahma Rishi purified him. And he became a pure devotee. And so he has this role of Vatsalya Bhav in the Lord's pastimes as a matchmaker. So he has a role here of being the matchmaker between Ram and Sita. And does anyone know who he is in Chaitanya Leela? He's the Brahmana who brokers the marriage between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lakshmi Priya. And what about Krishna Leela? Do you know who he is in Krishna Leela? Yes, the Brahmana who brings Rukmini's message to Krishna. So he's a matchmaker in all three Leelas. So he comes and, of course, he asks Dasarath for his son. First of all, he comes and Dasarath seems to have a problem with this. Vishramrita comes and Dasarath says, whatever you want. Don't do this whatever you want business. Dasarath did this with Kaikeyi also, right? Called that carte blanche. Whatever you want. And Vishramrita says, okay, Ram and Lakshman. And Vasistha says, you promised, you know, you better do it or you'll become a frog. You understand? So Ram and Lakshman went with Vishwamitra, and he brought them to stand on the stone that was Ahalya. Right? Ahalya had been cursed by her husband to become a stone because she was unfaithful. But then she was rescued by Lord Ramachandra by him putting his lotus feet upon her. And Vishwamitra gave them many weapons. So this is also very significant. As I said, the Brahmanas had more power than the Kshatriyas, and they had more subtle weapons. The Brahmanas always had more subtle weapons than the Kshatriyas, and it was one way that the Brahmanas were able to have the Kshatriyas listen to them. You follow? It wasn't just culture. It was also fear that they have some greater power. Although generally the Brahmanas don't use those weapons, but they have them. And Dronacharya gave those kind of weapons to Arjuna. Such was mentioned by Draupadi when Arjuna brings the bound up Ashwatthama. And Draupadi says, "You learn celestial weapons from Drona, therefore you should be grateful," because generally the Kshatriyas didn't have such weapons. And this was one reason why it was improper for Drona to be on the battlefield, because he had weapons that the other warriors couldn't counteract. Plus, they weren't supposed to attack a Brahmana, and so he had this unfair advantage, and when he finally gave up his body, he was actually told by the Devas, you're acting improperly. But sometimes the Brahmanas would give these weapons to very, very qualified Kshatriyas, and of course, Ram and Lakshman. Can you see the picture at all? Of course, Ram and Lakshman are God, so that's certainly very qualified. So Vishwamitra gave them his divine weapons and then said, "I want you to kill this Tadika, the mother of Subahu." And so Ram said, "I don't want to kill a woman, but I'm supposed to follow your instruction." And therefore, the first demon he killed was a woman. Like Krishna, the first demon he killed also was a woman, Putana. And then we had these demons who were disturbing the sacrifice. They were pouring blood and stool and urine into the sacrifice. And Ram and Lakshman killed Subahu, but they didn't kill Marich. You know, sometimes we wonder why Krishna doesn't fix things immediately that need to be fixed. Says yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srajamnam pritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chuduskritam dharmastam starpanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. And we could say, my dear Lord, like right now, are there demons running governments in the world? Yes? Let's not be specific. Okay. I don't want to get arrested or something. But there are definitely governments in the world that are being run by out-and-out demons. Am I correct? So where is God? Can all of you back there see the screen? If you can't, please move. So just like with Krishna's appearance, so the demigods go to Lord Brahma. Yes, yes, please move. No point in my creating these if you can't see them. And hard enough to see with the sun coming up. So the demigods go to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma gets in meditation on the shore of the ocean of milk. And Lord Vishnu says, "I will come, and some of you come first to be my elders," right? So you think about that, you know, the Lord says, "Don't worry, I'll kill Kamsa, I'll take away the burden of the earth." And then, you know, Vasudeva has to take birth, he has to grow up enough to get married. Let's just say he was 25 when he married Devaki, let's just say, and then they have to have 8 children, so then what are we at? 25, 26 years now, we're at 33, 34 years by the time Krishna has actually appeared. And then does he just kill Kamsa? No, he goes to Vrindavan and stays another, let's say, 11. Some of our acharyas say 11. Now we're at 44 years. So Lord Vishnu, yes, I am coming. I am going to kill Kamsa and 44 years go by. You understand? So just like here, please kill these demons. He doesn't kill Marich immediately. And sometimes this is confusing for us. But Lord, you said when there's a dharma, when there's demons, you'll take care. But we don't see the whole plan. You understand? We may become impatient. We may become frustrated. Or we may think, well, maybe he doesn't mean it. Maybe there's no God. Anyway, so now Marich is, he goes off to the side and everybody kind of forgets about him for a while. All right, then Vishwamrita brings Ram to the kingdom of Janak, where Sita is going to have her Swayamvar. And Janak has made this test, whoever can string this bow of Shiva, which different places say 300 men or 1,500 men to move, and Sita could just pick it up to get to a ball. Okay, so whoever can string this bow. So, of course, there was a great contest. And the Lord broke the bow of Lord Shiva to win the hand of Sita.
The women called to their friends, "Come, come, come, see this beautiful exchange. Look at the beautiful Sita. See the handsome Ram."
So it's very amazing to me that although Ram and Sita are eternally husband and wife, they still like falling in love and having a wedding. And they do this perpetually. Seeing each other for the first time, right? And falling in love and having a wedding and getting to know each other. It's amazing. Yes, and this is their perpetual bliss. And of course, after the wedding, so the four brothers were married, Ram with Sita and Lakshman with Sita's sister Urmila, and Bharat with Madhvi and Shatrughna with Shrutakirti. Madhvi and Shrutakirti were the daughters of Janaka's brother. So they had a quadruple wedding. It must have been an amazing wedding, huh? Imagine going to the wedding of Sita and Ram. How much opulence. So many, many years ago, we had this Indian film called Sita's Wedding. It was almost all music. I think there was like 5 minutes of dialogue in the whole movie. And our kids and we watched, I don't know how many times we watched that film. I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens, and they showed like pearls, real pearls being poured over Sita and Ram. Just recently we were in Bahrain, which is one of the few places in the world where they have genuine pearls, not cultured. And one necklace, one simple necklace, $500,000. I don't know who spends $500,000 on a necklace. I guess the big oil sheiks or something, but you know, that just, we read in the Shastra that there's just decorations on the buildings made of pearls and jewels and coral and all the festivity that was going on, all the happiness. But then, of course, as they were leaving to go back to Dasara's kingdom, Parasaram appeared and says, "How could you break the bow of Lord Shiva? I challenge you." And of course, Ram accepted the challenge, defeated Parasaram. So this is very interesting, a quarrel between the Lord and one of his avatars. Yeah? Sometimes I have a quarrel with myself in my mind. Do you ever have a quarrel with yourself in your mind? Do I want to do this? Nah, that's a really stupid idea. I don't know, maybe I should do this. Nah, I don't think I want to. Maybe, But Krishna actually is in different forms. You shouldn't do that. Yes, I should. You shouldn't do that. Yes, I should. And somebody wins. Did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda ever quarrel about anything? What did they quarrel about? The danda. Yeah, yeah. Just trying to think of where I was recently, but I was giving a class on the story of Sakshi Gopal, and Prabhupada mentions that Sakshi Gopal was brought to the Jagannath temple, but there was a quarrel between Jagannath and Sakshi Gopal, and so Sakshi Gopal was moved to another temple. So, yeah, that is funny. So then I was asking some devotees, what is this quarrel? And they said, oh, well, the local story in Jagannath Puri is that Sakshi Gopal was eating all the sweets and the savories from the bhoga plate and leaving Jagannath with just the sabjis. Well, and such an amazing idea we have of God, you know? Who has such a concept of God? So sweet. So then Sita Ram were in Ayodhya. And everything looked very nice. Is life sometimes like that? You think, okay, now everything's done. Everything's nice, and from now on, everything will just be nice. So Bharata and Shatrughna were out of, as you all say, out of station. They were visiting Kaikeyi's family. And Dasara started thinking, I'm getting old. Many of you here will not understand this at all. But I remember when my granddaughter got married, I'm there at the wedding and thinking, this is their world now. It's for them. I need to step back. Huh? So Dasara's like that. He's like, it's their world. This was the ashram system that you don't stay in an administrative post your whole life. You know, we have the story of Gopu Kumar told by Sanatana Goswami, how he keeps wanting to take up administrative posts for seva. But once he gets into them, they're very entangling. And then he decides, like, he becomes a king in Jagannath Puri, he becomes Indra, he becomes Brahma. And each time, he can do a lot of service, but he also decides this is entangling, and he steps away from it. So we have this example throughout the Bhagavatam, people who take up positions of responsibility in service, but at a certain point, they retire and they turn it over to those who are younger. Also, what I'm noticing in my own life is our psychological energy and inclination changes. When you are young, you are thinking, I'm going to change the world and I'm going to have this impact and that impact and do this and do that. And then you get older and you're like, I don't know. It's something, any of you who are around my age, yeah, you understand? Your inclination changes. It's supposed to be like that. Your energy level changes. It's quite a fascinating thing. And I have a tremendous faith in this whole system of varna and ashrama as described in the scriptures. I see that it is real and it works. So Dasarath was like that. He wasn't trying to hold on to power till the end for power. I think of how Prabhupada was so critical of Gandhi. Why didn't he retire? Yeah. And Dasarath, somehow or other, he felt some urgency about this. And he said, I need to do it now. Feeling a great urgency about things is also a little dangerous, by the way. And he said, let's find a good time. Okay, we'll do it tomorrow. And just big announcement, we'll do it tomorrow. So everybody was happy except for Mantra. She was the only one in the whole kingdom who was unhappy. My dear friends, you will never please everybody. Sometimes we say, if you please Krishna, you please everybody, but not directly. If you try to please jivas independently, it will not work. So Mantra was not happy. She decided that this decision was an insult to her, basically. She was really concerned about herself, you understand? That her own position would be diminished. But she couched this as, it's an insult to my mistress, to Kaikeyi. So many times our ego reacts like that. Something happens and we think, oh, I've been insulted. And she also acts very precipitously. She doesn't act with good intelligence or good thought. She just acts. And it took her a while, but she eventually convinces Kaikeyi that this situation is a catastrophe. And this is really, you know, a good example of bad association. Of course, this is Leela, but still we have some idea of bad association. Even you're the mother of God. We should never think, well, I'm so fixed in bhakti, I'm such a solid devotee, that I can associate with anybody. And then, you know, Kaikeyi, she goes and sulks, and she says to Dasarath, you promised me anything. I said Dasarath seems to have a habit of this. You said whatever I wanted. Please, please, don't trust another jiva that much, okay? And just one of the lessons from the Ramayana. Whatever you want. She says, all right, I want my son to be the king, and I want Ram to be banished for 14 years. So then Lakshman, of course, he's ready to fight. And finally, you know, Ram says, no, no, you cannot fight our father. So Lakshman says, then I'll come. And Sita says, then I will come. And Ram's like, no way. And she's like, I'm sorry. You know, even in our modern Western wedding vows, we say, right, for better or for worse, in sickness and health, richer or poorer. You don't know. I mean, a day after the wedding, your spouse can be in a car accident, crippled for life. And you don't say, well, I'm out of here. Right. So she says, I'm sorry. I'm not just faithful when you're the king. You're the prince. I'm faithful when you're in exile. She said, I'll walk in front of you in the forest and I'll crush the thorns beneath my feet, she said. Anyway, so Ram was finally convinced by her, which is also interesting. How the Lord gets swayed by his incarnations, by his potencies, by his devotees. It's not that prayer is meaningless. Prabhupada was once asked, is there value to pray for someone who's passed away? And Prabhupada said, yes, it acts as a character witness in a court. So it matters. So of course, the Lord says goodbye to his mother before he goes to the forest. She's heartbroken. And then he goes into the forest. And a lot of Ayodhya follows him into the forest. They say, if you're leaving, we're leaving. But Ram decides that this would not be proper, would not honor his father's word. So even though they're following him, still, he camps at a river, and while they're sleeping, he leaves. Then he meets his devotee, Guha. Now, this incarnation of Rama is very interesting. He has a lot of devotees who are animals and tribals. So there's hope for us, right? At least for me. There's one purport where Prabhupada says how Ravana's army, they had sophisticated weapons, and the monkeys, they just had like some sticks and tree trunks. And he said only Ram and Lakshman had some arrows. And Prabhupada compares in that purport, we devotees fighting against the materialistic society. They have so much money, so much sophistication, so much propaganda. Right? Anyway, so Guha, he receives Ram. He said, you can stay here with me. And Ram says, no, I can't live in a city. Please take me across the Ganga. And so Guha arranges for this boatman to take the Lord Ram, Lakshman, and Sita across the Ganga. And then they meet some of the sages in the forest. And the sages say, we're being bothered by Rakshasas. Please protect us. And Ram said, yes, I will give you protection. And then Sita afterwards says to Ram, my lord, you're here in exile. Bharat is the king. Why are you promising protection? And Ram says, well, first of all, I've already promised. He said, and second of all, we're not really here as renunciates. This is a temporary exile. We're not out of the grihastha ashram. He said, I still have an obligation as the ruler. That's very significant because Bharat, when he actually retires from the kingdom and he goes to the forest and he actually just changed his ashram, why does he fall down for this with this affection for this deer? Because he hadn't given up that mentality of being a protector. I'm the protector. But he was supposed to have retired. I'm no longer the protector. But he hadn't quite given up that upadhi. But here Rama said, no, I'm not in that place. And he said, anyway, I gave my word. So meanwhile, Dasarath, Sumitra comes back and says, I drop Ram in the forest, and Dasarath leaves his body, remembering how he was cursed by a Brahmana boy whose parents he accidentally killed with a sound weapon. And that's a whole other story. Actually, the same purport where Draupadi is saying how Arjuna should be grateful to Dronacharya for giving him celestial weapons. Prabhupada also writes in that purport how Dasarath had these sonar weapons. Yes, but they got him into trouble. You can see why generally the Kshatriyas weren't given weapons like this. Yes, of course, again, this is all Leela. How wonderful to die in separation from Ram. And you notice that Dasarath, when he leaves his body, he has nothing to do with Kaikeyi. You notice this? So somehow the Lord has arranged that he has nothing to do with Kaikeyi. He's renounced her and he's in such deep separation from Ram. So it's a great blessing for him. You know, often in life, I had something happen in my life about a week ago that seemed like a catastrophe. And I'm like, okay, Lord, where's the blessing under this? Sometimes it takes years to find that out. Sometimes we don't find that out in this life. Thankfully, within a day, I can understand, oh, this catastrophe was actually a blessing. So all of our so-called catastrophes are actually mercy. Everything's mercy. The so-called good things are mercy. The so-called bad things are mercy. Everything is to really bring us closer to our heart's desire. So, of course, then Bharat comes back, finds out that his father has passed away, that Ram has been exiled, and he rejects his mother. So Prabhupada gives this as the example of rejecting an authority. He rejects his mother, he goes to the forest, and he asks Ram to come back. And Ram says, sorry, I'm not going to do that. You know, my father said I should be exiled. I have to follow that. And then Bharat says, well, all right, But I'm not going to do that. You can do that. I'm not. I will not be the king. You're the king. And so they reached a compromise that Bharat could take Ram's shoes and worship them. All right. So then Bharat takes Ram's shoes and goes back to Ayodhya. He installs, again, for me it looks so faded. Can you see what's happening in the picture? The saturation is like one-tenth of what it should be. So he puts the shoes on the throne. And then Ram said, we should leave this place because now everyone in Ayodhya knows where we are. So we should go. And so they're going through the forest and they first kill Virad. I love this story. Virad and Vatapi. You know this story, Virad and Vatapi? Do you all know that story? But I'm running out of time. What time do I have to end? What time do I have to end? 9:15? Okay, then I can tell this story. Because I really like this story. So Vatapi got this benediction that no matter how many pieces he was cut into, he could reassemble. So Virad and Vatapi, they had a very horrific way of killing sages. So Virad would invite a sage over for a meal, but he would cut up Vatapi and put Vatapi's body into the meal and feed it to the sages. And then he'd ask the sage, are you satisfied? And the sage would say, yes, I am satisfied. And then Virad would say, Vatapi, come out! And Vatapi would reassemble inside the digestive system of the sage, and in doing that would kill the sage. So Agastya Muni had a benediction that he could digest anything. So he knew what Virad and Vatapi were doing. So he accepted this invitation, and he knew he was eating Vatapi. And then Virad says, so are you satisfied? And yes, Agastya Muni says, yes, I am satisfied. And Virad says, Vatapi, come out. And Agastya says, Vatapi has been digested. I love that story. Anytime I take prasadam and someone says, are you satisfied? I always remember this lila. So now Ram and Lakshman kill Virad. And so they're going through the forest and they come to Panchavati. And in Panchavati, they are noticed by Ravana's sister, Shurpanakha. I used to be in a drama of the Ramayana, and this was the part that I played. I would like to unite myself with you, O best of men. Be my husband. What is this woman to you? That was a long time ago. I had to be back in order to get myself in the role. I'd be backstage going, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. I would recite all the demon verses from the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita to try to get into the role. That was wonderful. We used to do that in New York. We had a professional level theater. We were considered off Broadway, and we would perform the Ramayana there 3 times a week. People would pay, I think, like $5 a ticket, and it was a lot of fun. Most of the devotees who were there have passed away now. The devotees who played Ravana and Ram and Sita, and they've all gone. So Shurpanakha comes. And Ram says, sorry, I have ek patni vrat. That's not like the monogamy of today, my dear friends. That's not like I have a wife and then I divorce her and then I have another wife and then I divorce her and then I have another wife. Which is really just serial polygamy, right? It's not like that. I mean, the ek patni vrat was actually your spouse passes away, you don't remarry. Even when Sita went into the earth, Ram didn't take another wife. So it was very, very serious. It wasn't just till death do us part. It's like, that's it for this life. He said, sorry, I have this vow. He said, but Lakshman doesn't have this vow. And his wife isn't here. She's back in Ayodhya. You can marry him. And Lakshman says, I'm just a servant. You're a princess. Incompatible. Right? And Fenchi says, Sita's the problem. So she goes to attack Sita. And of course, then Lakshman cuts off her nose and ears. So then she goes back to her brothers, Kara and Dushan, and to Shiras, and she tells them, of course, she distorts everything. And she says, you know, I was insulted. I was trying to bring back this beautiful woman for our brother Ravana, and I was insulted. You know, avenge me. So they go with 14,000 Rakshasas, and they attack. And then Ram says to Lakshman, please take Sita to a cave and protect her. And Ram alone fights against Kara and Dushan and Trishiras and kills all 14,000 Rakshasas, everyone except for Akampan. So Akampan goes back to Ravana and tells Ravana about this massacre of his brothers and his army at Panchavati. And then, of course, Sharpanika comes. And she's very manipulative. She's completely lies. She doesn't say, I was lusting after Ram, and I tried to kill Sita, and therefore I got disfigured. She said, the most beautiful woman in the world is there, and I knew that she was for you. So I was trying to bring her to you when I got disfigured. You know, and then she says, aren't you going to avenge me? Sorry, I remember all my lines, you know. You're supposed to be a brother, a hero, a king, you know. She's pulling this whole guilt trip on him. But he's very, very, you know, his mind is going, oh, another beautiful woman. As if he didn't have enough. This is lust. Krishna says, never satisfied and burns like fire. There's research that people always want to have at least 10% more money than they have. Just the way it goes. I get this, I'll be satisfied. I get this, I'll be satisfied. So Ravana knew that he couldn't defeat Ram in open battle. So who does he go to? He goes to Marij, and I put him here in a box because Ravana couldn't think out of his box. Now, he was actually warned by Akampan. So Sharpanika is inciting him, but Akampan's saying, don't do this. And when he goes to Marij, Marij is saying, don't do this. And Ravana says, I'm going to do it. I don't care what you say. Have you ever had people come to you like that, asking for advice, but they already decided what they wanted to do? Right? It happened to me actually just recently, just in Chaupati. This one devotee comes and says, so I'm ready to study for my master's, and I've been accepted at schools in India and in foreign countries, and I don't know what to do, but I really want to go to foreign countries. And I'm talking to you for 5 minutes, and I said, you already know what you want to do. Why are you asking me? He said, you just want me to put a stamp of approval on what you've already decided. You know, what is the point? So Marie said, you're already going to do this, and this is going to cause your destruction. But he decides, better to be killed by Ram than by Ravana. Now, his thinking like that was materialistic. That if you're killed by your king, that's very shameful. If you're killed by your government, that's shameful. But if you're killed by an enemy of your government, then that's meritorious. So he was thinking materially, but he got to get killed by Ram, so it was actually very auspicious. So he makes himself, of course, look like a golden deer. And Sita sees this magical deer, and she's like, I want it. Please capture it alive, and if you can't capture it alive, then we can take this beautiful deer skin back to Ayodhya. And Lakshman says, I don't know, there's something wrong about this. I have a bad feeling about this. You know, and Rama says, even if it's a demon, it's not a problem. Stay here and protect Sita, and I will get this deer. So, of course, when Ram goes and he actually finds out it's Marich, he kills the deer, and the deer assumes its real form and calls out, Lakshman, help! In Ram's voice. And Sita panics. We have a lot of lessons here about panicking, right? Mantra panicked, Kaikeyi panicked, Sita's panicking, she panics. And she starts saying all these terrible things to Lakshman. So he leaves her alone. And then Ravana comes disguised as a holy person. This has been going on since the beginning of time, my dear friends. We should not be surprised that some people in our Krishna consciousness movement are actually demons. You know, we really shouldn't be surprised. And not many. There aren't many, but we have some people who are actually criminal demons. Just like I know in America there's about 25,000 crimes every year performed by criminals who dress up as police officers. It's very effective. In Krishna's Leela, we have demons who look like cowherd boys. And the other cowherd boys don't know. They don't notice. Even sometimes Balaram doesn't notice. Oh, see how this carrier has changed in every way. Correct? So we shouldn't be surprised that sometimes there are demons dressed as devotees. It happens. It's not that you find out that someone's done some heinous criminal activity in the Hare Krishna movement and so you lose your faith in Krishna consciousness. Or they did these things and the other people didn't know. They didn't notice. Mother Yasoda, Mother Rohini, they didn't know Putana was a demon. But it happens. Because the demons like to dress as devotees. Now please don't go around thinking everybody's a demon. That will be Vaishnava Parad. Please don't do that. But the point is, when these things happen, they will happen sometimes. And don't be surprised, it happens even in the Lord's personal Leela. So Ravana disguises himself as a holy man and Sita doesn't recognize him. And she's like, my dear holy man, how can I serve you? My husband will be back soon, please wait. And he kidnaps her. Now, Dasarath had a friend who was a vulture. As I said, Ram has all these devotees who are like animals and tribals. And so this vulture, Jatayu, had said that he would guard the hermitage when Ram was away. And when he sees that Ravana is carrying off Sita, so he comes and attacks Ravana. And he is able to destroy Ravana's chariot pulled by asses. But eventually Ravana cuts off his wings and talons. So I remember before I was in the Ramayana, but previous to that, I started playing in the Ramayana in 79. But in 1976, when Srila Prabhupada came to New York for our first New York Rath Yatra, he came to see the performance of the Ramayana, and Rasagya, who's passed away, was Sita, her husband Loitaksha was Ram, and Lokamangala, who's passed away, was Ravana. Devadeva was Jatayu. And I was sitting maybe three seats behind Srila Prabhupada in the theater, and I remember particularly at this part of the drama, so Jatayu comes to fight with Ravana, and Sita says, no, you are too old, and he is much stronger than you. And I don't know why at that point in the drama for me, somehow sitting so close to Srila Prabhupada, all of a sudden I was actually in the Dandaka forest. And I wasn't in New York and I wasn't in the theater. It only lasted for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, but it was absolutely amazing. But I was triggered by that line that Sita said. No, And Prabhupada said that Rasa Kya was the best actress in the world. And she says, no, don't, to tell you. You are too old and he is much stronger than you. It was, you know, Sita's agony at seeing Jatayu fight for her against Ravana. And then, of course, Jatayu somehow maintains his life until Ram and Lakshman come and they treat him like a father. But at least he tells them what happened. He says that Ravana kidnapped Sita and took her to the south. And they're looking everywhere. And as they're looking, they get captured by Kabanda. So we used to take out Harinam parties in costume to advertise the drama, and Kabanda would come out in his costume on the streets of New York. In the Harinam. Imagine seeing a Harinam party with, you know, Ram, Lakshman, Sita, Shurpanaka, Ravana, and Kabanda. And we would give out, you know, advertisements for the drama. And when Ram and Lakshman cut off his arms, he displays a celestial form, and he tells them to go to Shabari. And Shabari was waiting for Ram for a very long time. Do you ever feel like that? I've been waiting for Krishna for a very long time. Okay, where's my beads? Here, we're going to try again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. When are you coming? Do you ever feel like that? When are you coming? So Shabari was told by her guru, don't worry, Ram will come. And so every day she would pick berries, every day she would put out, every day she would prepare. So we do this also, yeah? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Prabhupada says when you chant Hare Krishna, you should in your mind imagine that there's a diamond throne and Krishna's sitting on it and you're bathing his feet with Ganga and Yamuna water. So she was doing this every day, and one day, there they were. And of course, I very much relate with this. I feel like I'm also some kind of tribal, even though I was born in the middle of New York City. That even though I've been in this Hare Krishna movement for a long time, whenever I come to India especially, I'm thinking people are going to think I have absolutely no culture at all. So anyway, this Shabari, she was tasting each of these berries. Or even in America, we don't do that, you know. And Lakshman was kind of horrified at this whole thing. And Ram is just... So Shabari told them about Hanuman. And then she went back to Godhead. Of course, Hanuman first comes in disguise. And he tells Ram and Lakshman that, well, he'd like to help, but his master Sugriva has a problem. He's also been exiled, and his wife has also been kidnapped. And then we have the killing of Bali. This, of course, is a whole long story, which we're not really going to get into. And then there was the rainy season. Yes, and Sugriva kind of lost it. I mean, he was a monkey. Don't be too hard on him. He was a monkey. And he was exiled. So he just fell into Maya, basically. And Lakshman comes and says, get it together! Ram couldn't go into Kishkinda because he was the one exiled, so he couldn't go into a city. But Lakshman could, so Lakshman goes in. So then Sugriva, like, does that ever happen to you? Do you ever have to, like, somebody ever have to wake you up? What are you doing, Prabhu? You're in Maya. Oh, yeah. So then Sugriva dispatches the army, and Ram particularly decides that he's going to put his faith in Hanuman, who's going to the south, because Jatayu had said that Ravana went to the south, so he gives Hanuman his ring. And then we have a whole long, 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 long story of the group that goes south and they go in a cave and on and on and on. And they end up at the shore where they meet Jatayu's brother, Sampati, who tells him that he can see Ravana's kingdom. And all the monkeys are saying, well, I can jump halfway. Well, I can jump there, but I don't think I can jump back. And then Jambavan reminds Hanuman, you can do it. And then Hanuman, Jai Hanuman! He jumps across the ocean. And he also has many adventures we have no time to tell as he's going across the ocean. And then he has some trouble finding Sita. And finally, he finds her in the Ashok forest, and he's sitting up in a tree, and he's watching this whole interplay with Sita and Ravana, and Ravana saying, if you don't surrender to me, I'll have my cooks cut you up and I'll eat you for breakfast. Would that inspire you to love somebody? Anyway, so then Hanuman knew that Sita didn't know him. So how is he going to present himself? So he sings from the tree the whole story of the Ramayana. At first, Sita thinks that he's Ravana in disguise. And then he gives her Ram's ring and he assures her. And she says, I only have 2 months. So he decides to do a reconnaissance mission. So he goes to the grove and he's pulling down the fruits. He gets taken to Ravana's assembly. He gets to see the whole layout of the city and all the everything, you know? He's a spy. And then Ravana wants to kill him. And Bibhishan says, you can't kill a messenger. He says, okay, we'll light fire to his tail. Bad move, Ravana. And Hanuman goes and burns down the city of Lanka. And he goes back to Ramachandra, tells him where Sita is. And so the whole army goes to the ocean, but they can't all jump like Hanuman. And so Lord Ramachandra does some tapasya to ask the ocean to cooperate, and the ocean doesn't. And so he's about to burn the ocean. And finally Samudra comes, what would you like? Please let the stones float on the ocean. Of course, then they build the bridge. World's longest floating bridge. Should be in the Guinness Book of World Records. Right? And they go over to Lanka. And then there's a very long battle. Again, we don't have time to tell everything in the battle. But Ravana has so many brothers, so many sons, and Ram and Lakshman are killing them one after another. But at one point, Ram and Lakshman are attacked by a snake weapon, and they are saved by Garuda. At this point, Ravana decides that things are really serious, and he has a secret weapon. Who's a person? Who's his secret weapon? Kumbhakarna, the great giant who tried to ask for Indra's throne and instead asked for Nidra's throne. So he was always sleeping. Do you know anybody like this? They're always sleeping. Yes. So waking him up untimely was not easy. And therefore, they had to have a whole bevy of people to wake him up. And when he woke up, then he was just crushing the monkey army beneath his feet. Finally, Ramchandra cut off his arms and threw him in the ocean. So things are getting more and more desperate. And finally, Lakshman is attacked and almost dying. What are we going to do? So every army has physicians. And the physician said, I need the Sanjeevani herb. It's the only thing, right? Maybe we should go to GV and get it from the Ayurvedic clinic, you know? And Hanuman says, where do we find this? It's in the Himalayas on this mountain. And Hanuman just goes there. Prabhupada says that Hanuman wasn't so smart, but he was strong. He gets there, he's like, I don't know what it looks like. Sanjeevani? Who's the Sanjeevani? He didn't have Google, you know? What to do? And it was urgent. Okay, I'll just bring the whole mountain. I'll let the Vaidya figure it out when I get there. And so, I don't know if you can see this at all, but anyway, that's Hanuman coming with the mountain. And finally, Indrajit, of course, is killed by Lakshman. And at this point, Ravana is completely devastated. I don't think you can see that. Can you see that at all? It's a beautiful painting. So we'll just go back to that, which you can see a little bit. So at this point, Ravana is completely devastated, but he doesn't surrender. What a fool. And by the way, everyone's been telling him all along to surrender, but he doesn't surrender. So finally, there's the battle between Ram and Ravana. And Ram gets Indra's chariot for this battle. That's the extent of my capacities for this kind of thing. Jai Shri Ram!
Jai Shri Ram!
Jai Shri Ram!
Jai Shri Ram!
May he kill all the demons in the guise of rulers on the earth. Now, we would love it if the story ended there. But Sita comes out and Ram says, I don't know if I can take you back. Lakshman, build a fire. Lakshman wasn't happy with that. He's like, next life I'm going to be the older brother. And then, of course, they go back to Ayodhya as the exile was ended. Bibhishan is crowned the king of Lanka. This is from the Bhagavatam. As the Lord sat on his airplane of flowers with women offering him prayers and reciters chanting about his characteristics, he appeared like the moon with the stars and planets. Any of you know what this song is? This is George Harrison's song, Here Comes the Sun, which actually he wrote about Srila Prabhupada. But as Lord Ramachandra is in the Sun Dynasty, I thought it appropriate for his homecoming back to Ayodhya. Then, of course, the Lord ruled for a very long time, and we don't really want to tell the rest of the story, but we will mention that Love and Kush, Ram's son, they went and recited the Ramayana in Ayodhya. Of course, if we are distressed at the separation of Sita and Ram, either when Sita is in Lanka or when Sita is banished to the forest, we can always reunite them by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I hope you enjoyed this meditation. I'm sorry that it's the light, you know, so much light. You have to have a really, really, really good projector to show things well in this extent of light. So again, thank you very much. And everything that was good here is from Srila Prabhupada. Everything bad is mine. So please take the good and leave the bad. Does anyone have any questions? Or yes?
Thank you very much for this wonderful class. You were talking about catastrophe, and Lord sends this catastrophe in our life as mercy only, right? And sometimes we can just understand within a day or a week, or in few years, but there are certain catastrophes that we may not be able to understand even in this life.
Correct.
So, what to do in case if somebody is hit by a catastrophe, trying to put all his endeavors, trying to figure out what Lord wants me to learn from this catastrophe. And over the period of time, even after spending a certain amount of years, one may not have been able to find out what Lord is wanting me to learn from it.
Thank you.
So how to proceed? Because that particular catastrophe has hit the person in his emotions, and at times the person gets disturbed on and off. Thank you.
Thank you. We can take the catastrophes that where we do find the meaning behind it. Some of those have taken me years, and then you see, oh, that was the reason. Sometimes it takes a few hours, and you can simply understand from that that the ones I can't understand, someday I will understand. What does Krishna want us to learn? Well, it's almost always about the same thing. Surrender, humility, tolerance. You know, it may have different flavors, you understand? Trust, faith. But the exact reasons, some of them we may not know in this life. Also, what's interesting, I was saying this to my, I'm traveling with one of my grandsons, I was saying this to him yesterday, that sometimes we don't know, like, often we can see how Krishna arranges something wonderful for us. You've all had this experience. Okay, I met this person exactly at this time. I didn't plan to be there, but somehow this happened, and I was there, and I met this person, and because of that, this happened, and this happened. We've all had that experience. This wonderful thing happened. And sometimes we can say, oh, because this and this, this terrible thing did not happen. If I had followed through with my plan, I would have been with those people in a car accident or something like that. But one of the hardest things for us to see is what didn't happen. Like maybe because you forgot your keys and you had to go back into the house and you were 3 minutes later, some terrible thing didn't happen. How will you know that? So the things that we can see should give us faith for the things that we can't see. And the lesson isn't always so specific that you have to, like, it's not like a mathematical problem, you know, where if you get one of the numbers wrong, it's wrong. It's these are general things. I'm not the doer, I'm not the controller, I'm not this body. I shouldn't depend on false shelters in the world. I should always depend on Krishna. And there, any one of those will always work. Am I correct? Now, if we're going to talk about what should I practically do, my own experience is first get your consciousness right, then you can figure out what to do. And a lot of people first want to figure out what to do, and then they think they'll get their consciousness right. But that doesn't work. It's like if you have fog on a windshield and you're trying to figure out which way to turn, but you can't see anything. So first clear the fog, and then you can make a decision. Now, if it's a really terrible catastrophe, sometimes you just have to wait a little bit. Like Prabhupada said, if you're very disturbed, stop everything and just chant. And he gives the analogy that if a pond is very muddy, don't keep stirring it up. Let the mud settle and it will become clear. By the way, that analogy is given in all the Eastern traditions. I mean, the Buddhists give that as well. The analogy I like to give is of a very noisy vehicle. You're walking down a city street and some huge truck comes by, makes a lot of noise. You have to stop your conversation until the truck goes by. You just stop. So like this year, one of my grandsons died in a motorcycle car accident. He was 24. And he was in a coma for about 6 days. And from the time he was in the accident, it took me 10 days before I could... It's like my emotions were funny. I don't know how to really explain it. I couldn't really like sense other people's emotions. I didn't know how to relate to other people emotionally. I couldn't read my own emotions. I just had to wait. Does that make sense? In those 10 days, I couldn't think about what am I supposed to learn. I didn't have the capacity to think about what am I supposed to learn. I just chanted Hare Krishna. You follow? And I didn't try to do all the things I normally did because I just couldn't. I just had to wait. So sometimes it's like that, you know. And then after 10 days, I started seeing some things that gave me some clarity. Why did this happen? What are the lessons, you know? And I'm sure that will keep evolving, and I'm sure I won't see all of that in this life. You follow? Yeah? But sometimes it's just the truck has to pass. I can just be peaceful and chant Hare Krishna and read the Shastra and not try to have it all together. I don't have to be all together. People would ask me during that time, how are you doing? I don't know. 5 minutes ago or now or 5 minutes from now or what are you talking about? Like, I don't know. I said, I'm fine and then I'm not fine. And I'm not fine and then I'm fine. And I don't know how I'm doing. And I felt like people were asking me because they wanted some kind of assurance. They wanted me to say to them, I am completely transcendental to everything in the world. I feel like they wanted that kind of an answer from me. Or maybe they wanted an answer, I'm falling apart. I didn't know what they were expecting. Because sometimes I felt very transcendental and sometimes I was falling apart. You understand? And gradually, you know, you come to see how Krishna's hand is there. And gradually you come to see, you know, how can I progress? Even pure devotees. I mean, Prabhupada talked about that, you know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati asked him to preach in English to English-speaking people. And he thought, well, to do this, I'll have to have a lot of money. So let me start a business. And when my business is successful, then I can preach. So Prabhupada got to the point, all but one of his children were married. He was getting older, and he thought, now I can do it. And just at that point, his whole business failed. Right then. The whole business collapsed. It imploded. And he decided to leave his family because his wife bought a bunch of tea biscuits by selling their Bhagavatam. The cook was sick, and she didn't want to cook, and so she just bought some biscuits by selling the Bhagavatam, and he's like, I'm out of here. And he was completely impoverished. And he was really impoverished. And for about 4 or 5 years, he was completely homeless. And Srila Prabhupada talks about that, and he says, I didn't understand it. He said, I thought I must have made some mistake. I must have offended Krishna. And then I remembered that Krishna says, sometimes when I show my special favor, I take everything away. No, not always. Please don't worry. I don't want to become too much of a devotee now. But, you know, when you look at the big picture, when Prabhupada started the movement, he started the movement with no money. He started the movement with no big political or wealth connections or any kind of connections without basically any tangible support from his guru's organization. Coming to a foreign country where he spoke with a heavy Indian accent, he spoke British English with a heavy Indian accent. He was very elderly with many health conditions. The books he had, if you see the original books, the printing quality was not good. Paper quality was not good. Printing was, the lines are not even straight. Spelling is not good. Grammar is not good. Illustrations were very basic. On the Bhagavatam that no one had heard about in America, I could tell you a whole story about that. How did he do it? How did this happen? You follow? This is amazing, this place. How did this happen? from some 70-year-old man with a trunk of poorly printed books and no money and a bag of cereal. It had to be spiritual potency, didn't it? Because there wasn't anything else, you understand? What material was there anything else? The only thing was spiritual potency, sitting under a tree playing a pair of cartels. One devotee said, yeah, Prabhupada was the street musician. And I'm like, oh yeah. So Krishna did this so that nobody could say, oh, it was because of this, it was because of this. And even his first followers, you know, we were a bunch of young kids. You understand? I mean, until George Harrison got involved, there wasn't really anybody rich and famous. So that was Krishna's purpose. It would have been easier for Prabhupada to start the movement with a lot of money, but then people could say, well, of course he had a lot of money. Is that all right? Okay. Thank you very much for your wonderful hospitality here. Ramchandra ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.